Welcome back to the D-Fly and Dixie podcast featuring Big Ten Network, ESPN, and Inside Lacrosse analyst, and my longtime friend, Mark Dixon. I am your host, Dan Flynn. Today's episode is presented by the Simplicity Group. Simplicity Group is a leading financial products distribution firm that specializes in providing best-in-class insurance, investment, and business development solutions. To learn more, visit simplicitygroup.com. Dixie, a new season is upon us, and I know you are champing at the bit to get started. So, Dixie, let's get it. Dixie, it is great to see you, be here with you today, and get starting talking about the 2024 lacrosse season.
I can't believe it's here, honestly. The older I get, the faster the years go by. In your intro, you're like, welcome back. I thought it would be like, welcome to another year. And we went back and forth on this. We were going to do a holiday podcast. Curiously enough, whenever you would say, hey, do you want to do one? I'd be like, yeah, sure. What works for you? And then I wouldn't get a reply. So that is the passive aggressive nature of D-Fly saying, I really don't have the time or the energy to edit a holiday podcast, which is fine.
I'm but really then, busy in the holiday time, man.
It's I understand. Really, just tell me. Just let me know.
Well,
let me
I off want. The hook. I wanted to do it, but it is just the holidays are just wild at my house because of my wife's birthday, my son's birthday, my father-in-law turned 80. His birthday is Christmas Eve. All those birthdays are around Christmas, and we celebrate Hanukkah and Christmas in my house. So it's just one big festive party nonstop the whole month of December. And then when January 1st rolls around, I'm just like, please get me back into a routine. Like, just yeah. I need to get everyone back on us. And I'm not a schedule guy, but like, I need it. Like, can we just like have five work days, get our kids back in school, some structure. And then last week with the snow and MLK Day and like teacher in service days, like in a 6-day period last week and this Monday, one day of school.
Oh yeah,
Hart County Public Schools here.
Man, that's a whole nother ball of wax. I don't know about you, where you when you grow up in the mean streets of Tower Hill, that was always something you looked forward to. You went to bed, and they never would call school the day before or the night before. It was always morning of, and you'd have to wake up, get to your mom or dad, you know, and be like, do we have school? Or like, you could hear the radio playing. And when they would say, you know, my brother and I went to a Catholic grade school, St. Mark's in Catonsville, but we fell under Baltimore County. Baltimore County schools closed today. You're like, oh, it was the greatest feeling. These kids, school was canceled. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago because of wind or rain or something?
2 weeks ago.
And it was the night before
on like a Wednesday night, they closed because it rained hard. It was going to rain hard and be really windy. It's wild. I don't understand. But remember, like, you know, there was no internet, or like even on TV wouldn't even have it, but you'd listen to the radio and they do it in alphabetical order. So for me,
if I was
like Tower Hill, you know, it's a private school. You have to like wait to the T's, and if you somehow missed it, or they go after like the R's, they're like, we're going to a commercial break. You're like, no, I need to know. Like,
when your school gets mentioned individually, that's when you know you're hoity-toity. Yeah, you don't even fall under a jurisdiction.
Well, this is in Delaware. There was only like 35 schools.
So. That's a good point.
But
whatever county in Delaware, you're closed. Everybody.
Yeah, so trying to get back into like a routine and a schedule, and then you're like, hey, I know we're supposed to start, the season starts on really like the weekend of February 3rd, but let's do one beforehand because we have so much to talk about. And I'm like, you know what? Let's get it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. So here we are. That's why we're here today. There are some really good games next weekend. So next week will be more like a regular or weekend preview show. Games like Denver at Hopkins, Georgetown at Loyola, Lehigh at Rutgers, Maryland at Richmond, just to name a few like marquee matchups for next weekend. So we needed a show prior to that where we can sort of
just to dip our toes in, get back in the groove, and just to say hi to all of our fans and listeners and let everybody know that we're back and we're excited. Crazy. And we'll dive into it next week, but there's 20 plus games next weekend. You know, normally And I think there's a game February 2nd, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to do a little research, a click here or there. But man, it's got to be the earliest we've seen games. I don't remember a February 3, maybe our February 5 or a 6 or something like that. But season's here. Season is here. And it's not like with this February 3rd start date, kids went back to school or started practice any earlier. Everybody went back like that January 7th, 8th, and started practice, with the exception of the Ivies, of course. But and they start later. But these schools starting on February 3rd, I mean, it's been it'll be it's a quick, fast-paced preparation period for these schools.
So let's do it this way. Let's start by looking at the top 20, the IL Media top 20
Yeah.
on Inside Lacrosse. There's some different groupings of teams, and it really starts with the three ACC teams at the top of the rankings in the preseason. Returning champion Notre Dame, number one, Duke, number two, Virginia, number three. Can anybody crack those top three teams?
That's a big question, and that'll be a storyline probably throughout the season. I think we've seen in the past, don't take the February results, particularly when it comes to Duke, to heart all that much. But you look at the talent they return, the talent coming in, both freshman transfer wise. The big three, I think, is still the big three, and we'll see. I mean, each team lost something. Notre Dame, in particular. Do I think they're the preseason number one? I don't, simply because of two players, Tevlin and Fake, Brian Tevlin, Chris Fake. I think that they're really going to miss their leadership, in addition to their physical talents. Duke, Brennan O'Neill was back, and reports out of last weekend's scrimmage against Maryland was it wasn't even fair how good he is and how much better he's gotten, and just swelling with confidence after being the MVP of the World Games this past summer. And then Virginia, I guess their biggest loss, what, Petey LaSalle, their face-off warrior. So it'll be interesting, but I think until proven otherwise, Notre Dame, Duke, Virginia, they are the top three in the country.
The next grouping is three Big Ten teams. A lot of hype around the Big Ten. Penn State at four, Hopkins at five, Maryland at six.
And everybody that you talk to, whenever the Big Ten comes up for men's lacrosse, the word that is typically followed by that is loaded. The Big Ten is loaded in 2024. So, I think for Penn State, really a missed call away from advancing to the national championship game or having the opportunity to still continue to play in that game and go to the finals. How do they follow up? Let's remember in 2019, when Penn State made championship weekend, the 2020 season, that was cut short. They were a little bit of a disappointment, losing a couple games before the season was shut down in mid-March. Hopkins, similarly, how they follow up a quote unquote surprise year at Homewood a year ago, quarterfinalists in 2023. Different story for Maryland. First round bounce from the Army Black Knights and lost in the Big Ten championship game to Michigan. This is a rebound year for the Maryland Terrapins, and another new offensive coordinator in Mike Phipps, who came in late after Jake Bernhardt. I always have to check the Bernhardts, the line, they're all J's and they're all, but Jake Bernhardt takes the head coaching job at Colby, and Phipps slides over from the Naval Academy. So Maryland with a lot to prove in 2024.
The next group of three teams, and I'm not really doing this in threes, but this just works out this way, are three upstate New York teams. Cornell at seven, Army at eight, Syracuse at nine, and the Cuse fans are hoping that the Orange are back this year.
Yeah, so let's work backwards. Syracuse, the freshman class last year, taking the next step as sophomores. A lot of people feel like they're going to help this team score a lot of goals. They have a few graduate transfers that came in from Princeton. So when you combine all that together, hopes are high up at the Dome. Army quarterfinalist a year ago, and they come in at eight. Can Army be the first Patriot League team to crack the Final Four, championship weekend since what it was Loyola in 2012,
Lola
right?
winning
I
it.
think
Yeah, I
when they
think
won
so.
the national championship. And then Cornell, big question marks. They lose Max Adler, first team All-American defender, and they lose Chase Erlin, their goaltender, now playing for Johns Hopkins, but they return arguably, one of the top three players in the country in Hurst. Which one's he? That's the same thing with
CJ Kirst?
DJ. There it is. Sorry,
CJ.
CJ. It
CJ.
just whenever you say the word Bernhardt, I got to rifle through, and then when you say the name Kirst, you got to rifle through. But no, CJ Kirst is a special talent, and he's gonna lead that big red team in the 2024.
Yeah, you mentioned Syracuse getting a few of the Princeton guys. Cornell's the one team it seems like they can have a fifth year seniors coming back for their of the Ivy League teams, and they have a bunch of them. I was looking at Cornell's returning scoring, and it's deep, and
Yeah.
they have a lot of dudes who are coming back for fifth years. Next grouping is again, it seems like three is a good number here. 10 Yale, 11 Michigan, 12 Georgetown.
Yeah, so Yale is a team that's going to have to figure it out defensively. That really has bit them over the last couple of years, last year in particular. Michigan at 11, go blue. And I guess bittersweet in Ann Arbor right now. They win the national championship in football but lose their head coach to the San Diego Chargers. But, this is a team that returns Justin Wheatfeld at the faceoff dot, Mikey Boehm at attack. And Ryan Cohen in the midfield, who did miss their playoffs last year, the NCAA tournament. But it's exciting in Ann Arbor for sure. And they lose some guys as well, Josh Sawada and Nick Rowlett at the faceoff dot. Georgetown, talk about a team that loses a lot. I believe what Hopkins has like 90 plus percent of their scoring is back. I think it's the opposite for Georgetown when you look at the losses that the Hoyas have. But Graham Bundy is as good of any as any midfielder in the country, and they could be, and I think all indications are they're going to start a freshman in net in Anderson Moore out of Alabama native, so maybe the most impactful player out of the state of Alabama since the Alabama Shake, Jack Chizinski from Ohio State a couple years ago.
Denver 13, Princeton 14, Rutgers 15, seem to be like another tier right there.
Yeah, Denver, new offensive coordinator and Dave Metzbauer, but more importantly, quote unquote, new head coach Matt Brown takes over for the legend Beal Tierney. So Denver's a team with a couple of new offensive coordinator and then a different role for Matt Brown. Princeton, I know that you're high on the Tigers. You saw them in the fall dismantle Notre Dame, and your nephew Mike G starting in net for the Tigers. So. And they do feature, according to Inside Lacrosse, the number one freshman class coming in. And then Rutgers, what do we get out of Rutgers? Not as big of a splash in the transfer market this year, but they do return Ross Scott, Shane Knobloch. But I think those guys have been worn down the last couple of years because they are the main guys who can step up. Who can support on the offensive end, who could support those two guys, both All-American players, but who can make those two better and keep them from getting beat up, especially Ross Scott. I mean, he just really got beat up on last year, really keyed on by opposing defenses.
Let's take the next two together. Delaware at 16, North Carolina at 17.
Delaware is a team that a lot of people feel it might be undervalued. And when you look at the returning scorers that they have, in addition to the culture that's been built in Delaware, that could be a sneaky team. Obviously going to have to replace a good defender in Owen Grant, but they return quite a bit, JP Ward on the offensive end. And then North Carolina is a team that I think they're really gonna lean into their freshman class from all indications. And they have the number one freshman in the country in Owen Duffy. He's terrific. I had an opportunity to watch him play in the fall, and he is an impact player. Absolutely. Colin Krieg between the nets looks like he's going to be back in goal, and he looks terrific. So, and a new defensive coordinator in Dave Petromala, and a new offensive coordinator in John Thompson. So, two new faces in those positions in Chapel Hill.
And rounding out the top 20, Boston U, Penn, and Richmond.
BU, they just seem to get better every year. And I know I think they're a little disappointed with losing in the semifinals of the Patriot League tournament last year to Loyola after being up by 7 or 8 goals early in that game. Penn, they're just always, to me, a little bit of a mystery. Like, what are you going to get? Kind of, I don't know. I don't want to be like dorky with the Forrest Gumpish kind of, life's about like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. I feel like sometimes with Penn, you never know what you're going to get. And then Richmond, the Spiders, return a good talent. It'll be interesting. They scrimmage Loyola this weekend, so it'll be interesting to see how the Spiders come out. And and they're always around, right? I mean, Richmond made the NCAA tournament last year, but it's like no matter what, Richmond always seems to get Virginia in the first round of the NCAA tournament. So I don't mean to laugh, but when that's your first round draw year in and year out, it's like, okay, thanks.
Yeah, so that's your top 20 as we begin the preseason top 20 as we start to get into it. A couple of things came up there, Dix. Like you have two sons playing college lacrosse now, and you're an empty nester at home. So like, what's that like? And then how are your boys doing? And what are those changes that you're seeing?
Boys are good, and it'll be fun to watch them both play at the collegiate level. Now, it's definitely different. Feel old for sure. The empty nesting, it's been good. It was a transition early, and then my wife and I, we spend a lot of time together, and luckily we both have good friends too, so we can mitigate the. But no, look, you get a deeper appreciation for your children. When our boys came home for the holidays, it was great to have them both home. And but you also realize that they're adults, and they do have their own lives and that kind of thing. But it was terrific having them home. And then you think, you like to think, and I think this is the case. They develop a deeper appreciation for you. They don't take as many things for granted. So it's been good. It's been an adjustment, but. That's our job, right? You'll find out soon enough. It's you raise something for 18 years and then you say goodbye. That you're preparing them to leave you,
Yeah.
Dan Flynn.
I'm a long way from that, man. I'm still,
Closer than you think.
I just had a kid learn how to tie his shoes. And that was like a monumental achievement. We're like, oh God, he's so grown up now. He's so grown up. Yeah. So that's where we are. A lot of people may not realize this, but Mark, not only a broadcaster, but he's also a dad, lacrosse dad. He's coached, he's played. And he's a college official, college level official. And we got some new rules this year, right? So if you could walk us through what some of those are and what implications they might have, if we start to prepare for some scrimmages this week that we might see for the first time and the games next week.
Yes. So the two biggest areas are helmets of the players and the utilization of instant replay.
Okay.
So the helmets. I think we've seen the trend last couple of seasons. Offensive players get hit or, jostled or whatever, and their helmets come off. And I think the knee-jerk reaction is, oh my God, there's no flag on the play. Like, why? How can a guy have his helmet knocked off and he didn't get fouled? Well, what's happening is the kids are wearing their helmets way too loose. And the rules committee recognized this trend of really not properly securing the helmets as they've been designed. So the bottom line is offensive player, and he doesn't get fouled. Even if he does get fouled, he has to come off the field.
Okay.
Anytime a player, offensive player's helmet comes off, the ref immediately stop the play. That player has to leave the field. They turn the ball over. So
If it's
that's how
not a foul.
serious this
So if
is.
there's no foul, it's a turnover.
Right.
Okay.
Turnover. And that player goes through the substitution area. So it'll be up to 20 seconds to restart the play. What I
Okay.
mean by that
No
is,
quick whistle.
lacrosse is known for the quick restart, the fast whistle. The team whose kid the helmet came off, they sub off, they'll be able to sub on before play is restarted. That player that lost his helmet is not allowed to re-enter the game until the next dead ball.
Dead ball. So they have to wait
Dead
till there's
ball.
a stoppage of play. You can't just sub on the fly.
Right.
So this is obviously a priority safety issue the rules committee is trying to address. So and it's they're serious about it. That the waiting to sub until a dead ball come back in. Buckle up, young men.
Yeah,
Buckle up. Okay.
absolutely.
What about instant replay?
So instant replay is going to work a lot the way football does. And so first and foremost, I don't know how much instant replay is going to be used in 2024. I think televised games that have the capacity for different or multiple camera angles, but you know, it has to be an agreement between the coaches to use instant replay. Are we going to do it or not? And for places that have limited resources, instant replay might not be or probably will not be used. Basically, the way this is going to work is so each coach gets one challenge per half.
Okay.
And the way it works is if a coach throws challenge flag and the play is overturned, that coach keeps the challenge. If the play is confirmed or is ruled inconclusive, then that team is charged a timeout. This can happen up until the last 4 minutes of the game. After that, it's referee's discretion to review plays. In other words, you can't challenge as a coach. Now, what can you challenge as a coach? Game times and shot clock are two that. You know, so timing issues can be challenged by a coach. Then everything that is goal related. All right. So what does that mean?
Crease
To determine
violation.
if crease violation, determine if the ball was in the goal before the goal got dislodged, determine if an offensive player was in or landed in the crease prior to the ball, to determine if an offensive player landed in the goal mouth prior to the ball entering the goal, or was he put into it by illegal contact? You know, so all things goal related are reviewable. Now, referees will have the resources to evaluate severity of head and neck checks, head and neck contact. What I mean by that is, so flag down, the official has to say, you know, illegal body check, contact to the head. You know, yada yada. Then at that point, they can go review by instant replay the hit. So the official then, after reviewing contact to the head and neck area, and again, it has to be verbalized when telling the penalty. I've got number seven, white, with illegal body check, contact to the head and neck. Okay, then they can go to the table and review.
And then they say, I'm going to look at it.
Right. Going to look at
If
it
they
for the
just
four
say, all
options.
right,
And there's four options.
what are the
One is
four options?
indirect, direct, excessive and flagrant, or they can downgrade it
Oh.
to an illegal body check or unnecessary roughness.
Okay. All right. So what is the penalty assessed to each of those? Like, the inadvertent was that like a minute? And then other ones are more severe?
Yeah, so indirect contact to the head and neck, typically 1 minute. And that's typically going to be non-releasable, but maybe in some cases it could be releasable or downgraded to an illegal body check or unnecessary roughness. Direct contact to the head, typically 2 minutes non-releasable, 3 minute excessive flagrant, 3 minute non-releasable and or expulsion.
Yeah.
And then of course you can downgrade. Now, these decisions by the officials cannot be challenged by the coaches. So in other words, I've got you for direct contact to the head. I give you 2 minutes not releasable. Coach can't throw the challenge flag and say, I challenge that, you know, because
Right.
it's already been reviewed, it's already been looked at, and the determination of the officials is final in those instances.
I like these new rules. I think the helmet and, obviously replaying the hits to the head are big safety issues within the sport. And then the replays of goals, goal related things and timing issues can clean up and solve a lot of problems that, again, you can see these at home when we're watching on TV and it's clear. But if you're at the game or you're on the sidelines, it's can be really frustrating because you think you see something and you're not sure, or you don't. And it'll be hopefully corrected and adjudicated correctly. But at the same time, I just hope they don't take too long. Sometimes in football, you're just like, what are they looking at here?
And I agree with
Interpretation.
that. And like my frustration, not, I mean, sometimes football gets a little lengthy, but like college basketball in particular, I feel like they go to the monitor, God, for out of bounds and who it hit off of,
Yeah,
and
me too.
like every 2 seconds, but hopefully that won't be the case for lacrosse. In contact that it had neck, I mean, obviously it's a legal body check, it's cross checks. Those kinds of things, maybe an excessive slash could be, evaluated, if it's in the head and neck area, that kind of thing. But again, it's important to note that if you feel like there, let's say there is a big hit, and there's no call, a coach, cannot challenge that. They cannot throw a challenge flag and say, I want to look for, head and neck contact. The official has to make that determination that a foul has occurred, flag down, then designate, I threw my flag because of contact at head neck area.
Good summary.
I
Very,
hope. I'm
thank you.
learning. I'm learning just as everyone else is.
Yeah, it seems as though every time there's new rules, it takes a while for everyone to get up to speed on it, including officials who have to make those calls. And but again, I think it's a positive step, and we all have, as fans, we have to look at it as saying, this will help make the game safer and better and more correct. Outcomes will come out of it. So it's progress. I think it's progress.
No doubt.
All right, Dix, it's time to move on to the give and go segment. So
Oh, even though this is a like a bonus show, we get
yeah, so this
give
is
and
a,
go. Okay.
this is what I want to do them this year is to well do like a draft. I'll let you pick the for this one this week. You can go first, but we'll give a to I'll throw a topic out again. You don't know what I'm gonna say. This is how the give and go works. I supply a topic for him. And then we sort of debate back and forth and give reasons for our answers. The Ravens, our beloved Baltimore Ravens, are we're top seed in the AFC, the best record in the NFL this year, and we're hosting for the first time since before you were born, maybe 1971, the AFC Championship
First
game.
time in the Ravens history that they've hosted
Yeah,
the AFC
first time
Championship game.
in 50
Fantastic.
something years that the Ravens are hosting the AFC Championship game here. In Baltimore, and it's there's some excitement building for
There's
sure.
some buzz.
There's some buzz, and even my 10-year-old daughter, who is a big Ravens fan, is really excited because Taylor might be coming to the game. She may be in Baltimore, and she's never been to Baltimore before. She's performed in Maryland at like FedEx Field or something, but she's never been in, as far as we know, in Baltimore before. So my daughter wants to go
She's
just to
never
like.
sullied herself to come to Baltimore.
There's a lot of Swifties in Baltimore. She wants to come like just to tailgate. She's like, Dad, I could get within like 1,000 feet of Taylor Swift. And I'm like, okay, all right, guess
And
so. So here's what we're gonna do, Dix. Who are your favorite Ravens? I mean, this is the look at all-time favorite Ravens. I'll let you pick first, but you pick a guy, I can't pick him too. So and if I pick a guy, you can't pick him. And we'll each do three. Give me a little bit of what about why this guy's your favorite, and I'll let you. Take your first one.
wow, I've had a lot of, really players that I admired for the Ravens throughout the years. Probably Ed Reed would be top of the heap. Well, go ahead.
You took my number one pick. He's at the
Did I?
top of my, literally the first name I wrote down. Yeah.
Yeah, Ed Reed, just the way he played the game, and he wore number 20, which is my number, and Ed Reed would be up there. Joe Flacco.
Wait, no, I get to pick. It's I pick next.
Oh,
Yeah. And then
sorry.
if I can't
Got
pick
way
Ed
ahead of
Reed now.
myself. This new format's throwing me off.
Format. So I am taking Joe Flacco.
Oh, come on.
Now I've had like two jerseys. One was an Ed Reed one because, 3/4 of the earth is covered by water. The other quarter is covered by Ed Reed. Hall of Fame safety for the
Nice.
Ravens was my first pick, but I can't have him. Dix took him. I'm taking Joe Flacco. Not only did he win us a Super Bowl MVP here. But he was a Delaware Blue Hen, and my dad coached
Yeah.
Delaware football there and is in the Athletic Hall of Fame there. I grew up in Newark, a big fan of the Blue Hens going to all those games. So I'm going to take Joe Flacco. And what about the resurgence of Joe Flacco coming off the retirement to play for the Brownies and lead them to the playoffs this year? What an incredible
Yeah.
story that was.
Have you Do you follow or have you seen, is a comedian from Baltimore, Stavros Halkios?
I've
Stabby
heard of
Baby
him.
is Instagram. So he's got a huge following and he's an up and coming comedian, but he does his alter ego is Ronnie from Baltimore. And he'll do a summary of every Ravens game. Not safe for work, but do yourself a favor and follow Stabby Baby on Instagram. But he ends, among other things, every, and it only lasts like a minute. But he'll be like, and thank God. So when the Ravens win, the Ravens are going to the Super Bowl, and Lamar Jackson looked like a young Joe Flacco. But when they lose, it's we suck, fire Harbaugh, and Lamar Jackson will never be as good as Joe Flacco. So,
Hilarious.
so do I get to pick next, or you go?
Yeah, I'll let you pick next.
Okay, I'll take Lamar
Okay.
Jackson.
How come? Why?
So,
Great choice, by the way.
yeah. So, you know, like a few years ago, I don't know, the Ravens, I was just kind of down on the Ravens. You know, I thought that like the leadership wasn't great and the culture was kind of broken.
They
Thought we
let
as
Joe
fans
Flacco go.
were it was time for Joe to go. But no, I just thought that the players that were being celebrated and looked at were like they weren't guys that I would necessarily follow, you know, as a player. Lamar came and just added kind of a just a joy and an energy to the game, like a guy that just enjoyed playing the game to play the game. And not only that, he's electric, absolutely electric player, so unique to the NFL in terms of his skill set, his execution. And so I'll go with Lamar.
Yeah.
And I know he was raked over the coals pretty good during this contract thing, you know, but I think that winning solves a lot of ill feelings. And Lamar to me is he's a guy I would like to hang out with, spend time with.
Yeah, he's amazing, and he's about to win his second MVP, and he does things on a football field that we've never seen anybody do before, and not at the level that he's done it. All right, I'm gonna take my second pick is gonna be the GOAT. Greatest kicker of all time, Jay Tuck, number nine, and the greatest Royal Farms pitch man that has ever lived. Remember when like Hello Dinata used to do those ads, and you're like, oh, those are really cool, like Royal Farms ads. And then Justin Tucker just has taken it to a whole nother level. He's the best kicker who ever lived, and he's got the longest field goal, he's the most accurate, he's super reliable, and he's a weapon that is always there for the Ravens. And you know, I got a little special love for specialists like kickers and punters and
That
holders
is
and long
your
snappers.
forte.
So I'll take Tucker second. Who's your third pick?
Good pick. You know, honorable mention Matt Stover during when the Ravens first came to Baltimore. He was, I mean, that Super Bowl year during the regular season, he was pretty much the source of all their points. Tight end has always been a great position for the Ravens. Todd Heap, Dennis Pitta, now Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely.
So who is your third pick? You get one more. Who's your
Another
third
honorable
all-time favorite?
mention, Anquan Boldin. But my third pick, Steve Smith.
Oh.
Steve Smith. Smaller guy, angry, just played with a complete chip on his shoulder and has continued to be himself now as a commentator in the NFL. I mean, he's threatened to beat up Michael Irvin at least three, four times that I can think of. Steve Smith, just a guy who was afraid of nothing, left it all on the field. Remember, was ready to retire and then tore his Achilles, came back for one more season. Steve Smith.
Good choice. I literally forgot about him, and he wasn't even on my list, but that's a good choice.
And now I see why you didn't want me to do the HMs. Hopefully I didn't take away your
You
thunder with
didn't.
my
You didn't
HM.
even mention my guy. So I have a
Okay.
new favorite Raven, and it's Kyle Hamilton. So I'm a
He's
fighting
great. Yeah,
Irish
he's
fan.
great.
You know I'm an Irish fan, and I thought that he wouldn't last long enough for the Ravens to take him last year in the draft. And he came to the Ravens. He's a great player. Struggled a little bit, like very early in his rookie season, and then played really well. And then this year just came into his own and got a little bit of recognition as it went on. But he was first team all pro safety. Like he was He
Oh,
is
wow. I knew
one
he made the
of
Pro
the
Bowl. I didn't know he was first team all pro. Wow.
So
That's incredible.
recognition, well deserved. He can play him all over the field. He makes plays. It's sort of like a Ed Reed, but he's like where Ed Reed could return punts and things like that, had that kind of versatility, and could all if he caught if Ed Reed intercepted a pass, there was a good chance he was going to run it back or do something incredible with it. Kyle Hamilton's like his versatility is a little different. Like he can come up and play run. He can, almost like a
Yeah, he lines up everywhere on the defensive
yeah,
side.
and he blitzes. He can do just different things, and he's a fantastic player, and he's my new favorite Raven to watch, and deserves all his access. So that's my three. So Dixie has Ed Reed, Lamar Jackson, and Steve Smith, and I'm going with Flacco, Justin Tucker, and Kyle Hamilton. All right, that seems like a
Good
good place
stuff.
to stop.
Hey, real quick, just talking about Instagram, and you talked about Taylor Swift earlier. A great follow, Baltimore Humor. And there's a lot of memes out there with Taylor Swift being superimposed into different positions or different areas of Baltimore.
Oh,
So
different
there's one of
areas of
her. There's
Baltimore.
one of her leaving Royal Farms. There's
Awesome. All right.
one of her at
Yeah.
the EC Diner with one of their crazy shakes. It's pretty funny.
All right, that's good. All right, that's a good place to stop. We'll be here all season. If you like what you heard, please like us on your favorite podcast app. Leave a review. Tell a friend and share the love. It's free. We always like to hear from you. Feel free to email me at dbflynn@gmail.com. If you want to be a sponsor of our podcast, just reach out to us. And on Twitter, he's @DixonLacrosse, and I'm simply @D_fly. We'll see you next week.